Hi, I'm Bob Bupke, here with Jay Randolph Jr., STL Golf Geek, as he's better known, and you're in the Groove Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Jay, we're exhausted, but energized by all the good golf and some of the amazing things that happened last week, the first major of the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you and I had been talking about this, I mean, since the first of the year. So many things were working towards a great Masters, and I think we had a really good Masters. We had the potential, certainly, for an incredible Masters with some stuff that was going on the back nine Sunday. But in the end, a guy built himself a little cushion going into the final round and did what he needed to do on Sunday and captures his first major title, validates some of the things he's been saying about himself. And we have a very interesting Masters champion. And it was a fascinating tournament, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, we're going to talk in depth about the winner, Patrick Reed, and everything that transpired, the performance by McIlroy and what Ricky Fowler did. I have a couple of housekeeping items that I just want to get out of the way. First and foremost, you know, in all of our discussions on the Grill Room, one name that we never mentioned, I think maybe he's almost a forgotten Masters champion, and that's Jimmy DeMeritt, who won the Masters three times. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that he can win it three times. And, you know, when we talk Masters winners, we never seem to bring up that name, Jimmy DeMeritt, who was extremely colorful. And you know that he certainly was an exceptional player.
Did you get to meet him, Bob?
I did, only once. And it was a very brief encounter, but I never forgot it. You know, I mean, I did get to shake his hand, and that was quite a thrill.
I got to meet him one time in Palm Springs with my dad, and he was a classy character. There's no doubt about it. People that knew DeMeritt loved him, and he was a gentlemanly type golfer. And I do think you're right. You know, looking back and watching Masters and hearing all the Masters discussion, you're probably right. Jimmy DeMeritt doesn't get enough pub. Maybe he was just a little too early, you know, and mixed in with Hogan, Snead, and Nelson.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing I just want to touch upon briefly, I write for a weekly newspaper on Long Island called The Independent, and I ended my story by saying the only person that felt more gratitude on Sunday night than Patrick Reed was yours truly. Only because you can appreciate this and our listeners can appreciate this. I did get a phone call from my daughter who was in a car with my grandson and involved in a rather serious automobile accident. But luckily, they were not hurt, but the car was totaled. And boy, it was right in the Masters coverage of me trying to go around the clock. But the thing that struck me was, you know, the Masters is so important, and then real life interjects itself into the scene, and suddenly it wasn't important, but, you know, ultimately it certainly was. So I feel very blessed and happy to say that she's fine. So, Jay, now let's move on. I think the, you know, obviously we want to congratulate Patrick Reed, so why don't we do that first? And actually, let's listen. I think this will help our listeners. Let's listen how Patrick planned his way to victory.
You know, really my mindset going in was, you know, stick to my game plan, play golf. And, you know, I stuck to my game plan all week, even today. I didn't stray from it at all throughout the entire day. And, you know, it's something that I needed to learn, especially at a place like this, how important it is to, you know, stick to what I believe and how I feel like I need to play the golf course. And, you know, with it, it gave me the reward of winning my first green jacket. Coming into the year, one of my biggest goals was to, you know, compete in a major and to win golf tournaments. And, you know, to be able to kind of get them both at once, to end the drought and win a major, just, you know, it helps me mentally, and also, you know, helps my resume. And hopefully I can just, you know, take this momentum going forward and play some really solid golf. the way those guys played towards the end, you know, with Jordan shoots a 64 today, and, you know, with Ricky going to shoot 67, having to go shoot under par on the final round of your first major to win, it was hard. And, you know, it was awesome and satisfying to, you know, make the clutch putts I did on the back nine. After feeling like I wasn't really making anything all day, to make that one on 12 for birdie seemed to kind of give me that momentum and just really that belief going the last couple that no matter what they throw at me, I can do this and I have a chance.
You know, Jay, he referenced that putt on 12. His shot on that par three actually looked like it was going to be considerably longer than it ended up. It stayed right up there on the fringe, allowing me to use a putter. I mean, that was a huge swing in the favor of Patrick Reed.
Yeah, a two there is like a one and a half. I mean, that changed kind of everything was going on ahead of him. He's hearing the roars, and he comes through and he makes a putt. And you heard him say, Bob, in his news conference that gave him the belief, and belief is such a strong thing, especially with a guy like Patrick Reed, who is a self-motivator and drives himself because he's got a lot of people that aren't pulling for him. And Rory fired a couple of shots on Saturday afternoon, and that got Patrick fired up. So, you know, he did everything he had to. I almost thought he could shoot even par in the final round. That would have ended up in a playoff with he and Ricky, but he got it one under, and he's the champion.
You know, Jay, it still amazes me that despite the fact that it's certainly apparent, at least from this corner and from other people that I talk to, the Masters has taken this approach where they really don't want a difficult back nine on Sunday. They're now firm believers that they're in the entertainment business, and that means birdies and eagles. I mean, quite truthfully, the course couldn't be set up any easier than it was this past Sunday. And that's their philosophy now. But still, nobody has shot four rounds, you know, in a Masters in the 60s yet. And even Patrick Reed, the winner, didn't accomplish that goal. But he did, as you accurately pointed out, he did exactly what he had to do.
Bob, what they have done, and Billy Payne is the architect of it, the previous chairman of the Masters, is restore the roars on the back nine. And that's okay. You and I don't like seeing double digits at major championships, but I think at the Masters, it's okay. I think to have it set up for Sunday and give these guys opportunities, where it surprised me a little bit, is the 11th hole always seems to be the hardest hole on the golf course. And a lot of people on Saturday and Sunday did not have that much difficulty with it. I also remember a lot of difficult shots coming into 14 green and being able to keep it on the green and on the right level. So I'd still like to see a little of that. I think, you know, at 13 and 15, give them all you can. You know, you want to make three, we're giving you the chance. But they have restored the roars, and I like that on Sunday at Augusta.
Well, one thing to substantiate your argument, not one ball in the water on number 11 for the weekend. And
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, Jay. I mean, we were used to seeing not one, but numerous shots that would find that water. All right, I mean, we can't go much longer in this show without bringing up Tiger. And before we talk Tiger Woods, let's listen to Tiger's words.
Well, again, I didn't play par five as well, and I didn't hit a lot of good iron shots. It was the same as yesterday. I'm putting so well today. This week, I'm hitting so many good putts that it's not going in, but I'm not hitting close enough. I'm just not getting up there, not taking advantage of the par fives, and you know, consequently, you know, a good putt round is even par.
All right, Professor, put a grade on Tiger's performance for me.
Oh, I think the Sunday made it a B minus or C plus. I you know, I heard a lot of people before the championship talking about he's going to need a couple of majors under his belt. I was stunned on Friday when two guys, you know, Michael Collins of ESPN and John McGinnis of the PGA Tour Radio Network, both out of nowhere, sent me text and said number 15's coming at Belle Reve in August. So I guess the theory is that he needed a little major championship tuner, and he got it. I was so disappointed with the drives that he hits on Friday and Saturday on one and walks away with bogey. I mean, those were horrific pars. So, you know, we tried to maybe make a little more of his good play leading into Augusta than was actually there. And clearly there was still work that needed to be done. And this is part of the process.
Well, Jay, certainly we have to talk about the performance of Jordan Spieth. Ironically enough, he proclaimed to the media that Sunday was going to be the first time that he's had an opportunity to play a carefree round at Augusta National. So he even alluded to the fact that he was nowhere in the hunt, but his play certainly put him into the hunt coming down the stretch.
Well, Bob, he certainly became a giant factor on Sunday. I mean, one off the 63 in the final round. You know, if not for a better tee shot, who knows what he does on the 72nd hole. This is becoming the norm, not just a trend, to see Jordan Spieth every April in the hunt at Augusta. And it's just a matter of time, you got to think, before he gets the second green jacket. Let's hear what Jordan had to say after his final day.
This round was fantastic. I mean, nobody's going to have a great Sunday every year at Augusta National. To be able to have a chance to win this tournament 5 years in a row is really, really cool. And that's how I'm going to take today.
So he's going to take that 5 years in a row now. He had an opportunity to win this tournament. However, that's the bright side, 5 years in a row. The troubling side is the fact that he's only closed the deal once out of those five times, Jay.
Well, it is. You know what, Bob? You said about a month and a half ago when you talked about the three guys that have the chance for the Grand Slam and how rare it is and how, you know, and we don't need to look much further than and that's Rory McIlroy. You know, the more he puts himself there, the more chances he's going to have and the more of a world-class reputation he's going to have. I know one of the things you preach to people that talk about the greatest players of all time is how many second place finishes Mr. Jack Nicklaus had. So, you know, Jordan is where he wants to be heading towards the rest of this season, I think. I think the putter has started to get figured out. I think he did it the final day in Houston.
Yeah, I agree with you. Putter certainly did come around. One other player that played really well, had to wait to see if he was going to be in a playoff, still seeking his first major title. We heard from Ricky Fowler next.
I knew I needed a good back nine, but to see one of your buddies playing well, it's, I knew what I needed to do. Obviously, I knew where Patrick was at. And, I'm definitely happy with the week, but, at the same time, not happy that we finished second. Obviously, I want that green jacket, and this is a step in the right direction, though.
He certainly is good enough to win a major, Jay, but you have to preface, I have to preface that comment by saying just being good enough to win a major, you probably need to be great enough to win a major would be more accurate.
Well, and, you know, a lot of people talked about going into that final round on Sunday, Bob, his troubles in final rounds, not only in majors, but in regular tour events. And maybe this is the type of finish that he showed, making a charge, hoping that Reed would bogey one of the last two holes that Ricky needs moving forward. He certainly has been knocking on the door. 2 years ago was his best opportunities. It's good to see one of the game's elite young players right there with a chance to win a major.
All right, we have to do it. We we have to dissect what transpired with Rory McIlroy. You say, wow, you know, he had an excellent chance of doing it and completing that career Grand Slam. But I go back, Jay, and I look at the guys that weren't able to do that. Your Sam Snead, your Lee Trevino's, your Byron Nelson's, and Arnold Palmer. I mean, so how can we say anything negative about Rory McIlroy if he's in the company of all those other great players that have won three legs?
Well, I think what you have to do is look at this instance, look at the way he kind of talked a little smack. I mean, a very little smack. He, you know, saying how ready he was for Sunday with Reed and all the Ryder Cup stuff from before. And as you looked at the round unfold early, other than the missed tee shot, it looked like Rory was going to be tied for the lead after two holes. And he missed that short putt on two and, you know, never really got back on track. And he wasn't a factor on the back nine. And he's got to take that with him. What did he do wrong to not give himself a chance like Spieth did and like Fowler did to make this a tournament? And he was paired with the guy that won. And sometimes that smarts even more.
Yeah, it really does. And speaking of smarts, certainly have to give you a lot of credit. You've been blowing the trumpet of Rombo, John Rahm, for quite a while. And boy, oh boy, he was very impressive. He didn't go on to victory, but boy, some of the shots that he's able to produce at 23 years old, as he continues to gain experience, to gain a little maturity, not get quite upset over shots that don't go his way. It seems inevitable at some juncture, and probably not too far down the road, that he's going to have a green jacket in his locker.
That Spanish tradition, I think, is going to continue, Bob. There's no doubt about it. He needs to get himself a really nice hanger, because I do think someday he's going to be putting a green jacket on that hanger. And, you know, it also, you know, again, how young a player he still is with gaining this experience now and what it's going to mean moving forward in the next 3 to 5 years for John Rahm as he tries to be one of these players in that pack that breaks out and calls themselves the best player in the world.
And congratulations to Sergio Garcia. He was absolutely incredible at the Champions Dinner. Very, very gracious on putting the green jacket on the winner. I mean, brutal, just brutal, making that 13 on 15. And really, Jay, being the stick that you are, he didn't hit a bad shot there. All the ones that went in the water, they just were the wrong shot.
I mean, it's one of those deals where, as a player, you just want to grab him and slap him and say, stop. Think about what you're doing. Take one. After you hit the one, you got to make sure you get it past the pin. It was driving the guys crazy. Our defending Masters champion was out of the tournament by 2:03 on Thursday afternoon. But that's golf. And in a way, somewhat it's Sergio. And he'll be fine. And like you said, he handled it gracefully, stayed around, did the presentation. Now knows what it's like to be a Masters champion to put a green jacket on someone else.
Very well said there, Jay. And time to remind everybody they're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 AM in St. Louis, Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or the easiest way of doing it, you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. After a short break, we'll turn to our Vertical Groove hotline and hear what Alex Maselli thought about the 2018 Masters. And yes, as soon as we come back, we will share who won the Vertical Groove contest for a driver and a three wood. All that coming your way shortly, right here in the Grill Room.
You're listening to the Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Welcome back to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. Of course, the driver and the three wood. And speaking of that, we had our contest for an opportunity to win a Vertical Groove, a three wood or driver. And our winners are Kelsey Ergel from Texas and Steve Paletti from New York. Thanks for playing in the Grill Room Golf Show contest brought to you by Vertical Groove Golf. Congratulations to Kelsey and Steve. Janice, our executive producer, will be in touch, and you'll be hitting it straight with Vertical Groove Golf. Well, let's hear what Alex Maselli had to say to Bob about this year's Masters Tournament.
Joining us now in the Grill Room on the Vertical Groove Golf Hotline, he's the founder and publisher of Morning Read, the fastest growing site for information about anything golf. All you have to do is go to morningread.com. You'll get all the info. Alex, let me begin by asking you, the dust has settled a little bit on last week's Masters. What was your biggest surprise?
Oh, wow. I guess my biggest surprise would have been the total collapse of Rory McIlroy in the final round and Jordan Spieth's collapse sandwiched between two great rounds. I think both of those would have been surprises to me. If you would have said they would have been in those situations at the beginning of the week, I would have said they would have gotten it done. And the fact that they didn't, I think, were the biggest surprises.
Well, enough with the softball questions that I generally provide for you. This one's a little bit tougher. How much do you think the background and history and the baggage that Patrick Reed has been associated with comes into play in telling the story of the 2018 Masters winner?
You know, I'm going to go with none. I think we've already gone through the Patrick Reed story more than enough in the past. And I find it, I don't know, disingenuous by writers, upsetting. I don't know what's the benefit at this point. Yes, his parents live down the street, not too far away, 5 minutes away. They couldn't see their son play. It's clearly a personal issue between Patrick Reed and his parents. You know, I don't know what the reason is. No one seems to know what the reason is, why they're estranged. There's speculation where, you know, abounds about why. What does that have to do in the end of the day? What does that have to do with Patrick Reed winning the Masters, playing the best over 72 holes, holding off Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth down the stretch? It has absolutely nothing to do with it.
One other thing, Alex, and certainly appreciate your time. A few years back, Patrick Reed wins World Golf Championship event contested at Doral. his post-round comments seemed to put a few of the media off when he said that he felt like he was a top five player in the world. Just wanted your thoughts on what Patrick said.
Well, you know, in actuality, the world rankings are not necessarily up to date all the time. Usually it's your performance doesn't really aren't really reflected in the world rankings either positively or negatively at the time that they come out. And that's how they're built. They go over time. That being said, you know, what would you expect or what would you assume you should hear from a player that brashly believes that they are one of the best players in the world? And by the way, who doesn't think that on the PGA Tour? If you don't think that on the PGA Tour, you shouldn't be on the PGA Tour. Now, the difference is that some of the players are smart enough not to articulate that because they don't want to catch the wrath of the public and or the media. Patrick Reed clearly was not smart enough and did catch that wrath. But isn't that what you expect a guy who just won a World Golf Championship against the best players in the world to say? I don't expect him to say, I shouldn't be in the top 100 in the world or the top 50 in the world. Of course you should expect him to say he's one of the best players in the world.
Chatting with Alex Miceli. And Alex, I'd like your take on one thing. It is clearly evident that over the last 10 years, the back nine, the heralded back nine on Sunday at the Masters, the golf course continues to be set up easier and easier. What's your take on what's being done about that back nine?
Well, I think there's a balance, Bob, between entertainment and determining who the best player is that week. And the Masters has always done a pretty good job of that, understanding that they're an entertainment vehicle. I mean, all you have to do is wander around the grounds of Augusta National, look around, and realize this is all about entertainment. It's all about making money, which is fine. I have no problem with that. I find it disheartening that the U.S. Open, I think specifically, has lost its way. Its founders, the people that ran the organization since then, had a goal in mind, a vision in mind, that it's supposed to be the toughest examination in golf. And it's no longer the toughest examination. It is an examination that is unclear. You're not really sure what you're walking into when you sit down and take that exam, but it's certainly not the toughest. And I think most people grew up thinking that the USGA would be hard. You know, when you go to a US Open, you'd have hard greens, you'd have fast greens, you'd have narrow fairways, you'd have high rough. And over time, they have lost the plot. And now, all of a sudden, I don't think it really has an identity. And that's sad. I think that's very sad.
Big thank you to Alex Miceli, founder and publisher of MorningRead.com. Thanks, Alex.
Always interesting to hear what Mr. Miceli has to say, Bob.
And Jay, let me ask you the same question, okay? Because, I don't think it's fair journalism, and I don't think it's fair to our listeners that we just ignore. There's been a lot of stories circulating about Patrick Reed's background, about him attending the University of Georgia, something happening there. Yes, I fully appreciate, personal situations, maybe are not part of the golf world or people like to keep their personal life to themselves, but there's no denying when you win the Masters that spotlight is awful bright. What are your thoughts, Jay Randolph? You've been around the game. You've been around journalism for a long time. How do you feel about the background of Patrick Reed? And is it part of the Masters story or is it not?
Well, I think it can't go unnoticed. I think that each individual has to digest it the same way. We all do things when we're 18 to 24 years of age that, you know, maybe some of us aren't as proud of as we would be.
Don't bring up my past.
I think it's something that has to be discussed and analyzed and looked at. I think you know, he created those situations. It'd be like saying, you know, not talking about the Thanksgiving Mr. Woods had, you know, but I think you also at some point have to say, okay, that's in the past. This is now. The man has won a major championship. You know, it's got to be tough on him when he reads stories about his family sitting there watching the Masters tournament and saying they wanted to come to the celebration, but they couldn't get tickets. You know, it works both ways. It's tough. And when you have celebrity, skeletons are going to be there more now so than ever, as you well know.
One last thing on Patrick Reed. When asked in the media center about the relationship with his parents and his, you know, background at the University of Georgia, his response was a rather cool, "I'm here to play golf and win golf tournaments." Was that the right thing to say at that time?
I think that's a typical Patrick Reed answer. I think maybe at that point you give a little bit of yourself up and maybe say, you know, there are things in my personal life that I don't talk about publicly. And I am here to play golf and do the best I can. And that's all I'm going to say at this point, rather than kind of coming across as if he doesn't care or he's hiding it from everybody. But that's, you know, he's going to learn with maturity and now this newfound fame that maybe the arrogant approach isn't always the best.
Very well said. We're going to accept it here in the grill room. He is the reigning Masters champion. A big salute to Patrick Reed and his wife, Justine. I tried to think back, Jay, you can help me out with this one. I tried to think back where the wife of a Masters champion was any happier than Patrick Reed's wife, Justine, because she just watched her husband win just shy of $2 million. Her brother, who happens to be the caddy for Patrick Reed, earned about $200,000. That had to be quite a day for Justine.
Yeah, that's a double dip when you get your husband and your brother big paydays. She needs an estate planner is what she needs, Bob. You know a lot of those.
They don't know me, I'll guarantee you that. But somebody I do know, and we want to talk a little bit about, because it's time for our Groove Up with Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. And John Daly was at the Masters, Jay, but he wasn't playing.
No, he wasn't. And when we come back, we're going to have our Vertical Groove new face of golf feature. Bob was hanging with John Daly. If you follow Bob on Twitter or you're following him on Facebook, you saw Bob hanging with a pretty lady in JD. And when we come back, we'll talk more about John. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play the Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. Groove Up with John Daly next.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow. and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready.
Welcome back to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. I'm Jay Jr., STL Golf Geek on Twitter. I was not the guy in the picture with John Daly and the pretty Hooters girl and the bus and all the garb and swag. That was Bob Bubka, the VOG, the voice of golf. Bob, always hanging with your buddy Daly there on Washington Ave or whatever it is.
Was John Daly there? I lost my focus standing outside of Hooters. I'll say that much. But it was great to see John down there. And, you know, he's such an ambassador for golf. And so many fans were lined up. And he'd shake every hand and give every autograph. A real special week. John would love to be playing, but he's made it a tradition to hang at Hooters, and if you're planning on going to next year's Masters, right on Washington Road, you'll find that John Daly bus, and I'm sure he'll have a great time. Hey, Jay, right now it is time for me to remind everybody, if they're interested in getting a Vertical Groove driver or a Vertical Groove 3-wood, we have made it real easy for you. All you do is go to vertgolf.com. You get all the information, you get all the specs. I guarantee you two things: you're going to hit it further, you're going to hit it straighter, and you're going to thank Jay and I for steering you in the right direction. All right, Jay, the week after the Masters, it really chills out in your area of the world that you went to school down that way. You know the laid back. Congratulations to the RBC Heritage 50th anniversary. Pretty good field.
Should be a great time at Calabogie Sound. Davis Love III and his son Drew are playing there, defending champion from the University of South Carolina, Wesley Bryan. Watch out for Kuchar. The ATM machine always plays well there, and it should be a great week. Dustin Johnson's playing too.
Yeah, and Kevin Kisner, who had a rather disappointing Masters, but played very well. Once again, congratulations to all the good people at RBC Heritage, one of the real premier stops on the PGA Tour.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.